Hey everyone, welcome back to the new episode of Radio Say. You're watching this as a result of the YSA platform. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Lots of thoughts on it, so enjoy. Hi everyone, it's been a long time, I know. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to complete the at least 3 videos per month for Christmas time, just because this December has been quite hectic with finals, just like traveling back home. But I watched the movie The Woman King, and I had to like delve into that a little bit, you know, like talk about that, because it really like is. If I could like do like a little like, if I could consolidate everything I've been learning into like a course of study, it would. But basically, it reminded me of how like it perfectly like encapsulated part of what I'm looking for, which is in media, which is Black women getting to be strong, diverse, like multi-layered characters. And having like quote unquote masculine traits, I don't like the word masculine, but like quote unquote masculine traits without it being demonized, with those traits kind of like being framed as like a feminist take. And it's hard to do that because in the context of like feminism that prioritizes the protection and equality of white women, and doesn't always look at like the intersectional experiences because oh no, it gets too complicated. First of all, you can't see me doing quotation marks, so like hopefully when I make the like the silly voice changes or intonations or whatever, you can kind of hear then trying to do quotation marks, but like anyways, I'll try and say from now on when I'm doing quotation marks with my fingers. But yeah, I just like found it very interesting how like they were able to have these like quote unquote like traits that were like a range of energy, because like feminine energy, masculine energy, whatever, and like, and do it in such a way that like uplifts Black women instead of just like kind of copying pasting an ideal. Does that make sense? That for like white women representation onto Black women and hoping that it rings the same way without like stooping into like tropes that actually leave like Black women being unprotected without like analyzing the lack of protection, or like without like, you know what I mean, like just it just needs to be a little bit more if you're going to have a Black female character have in possess like quote-unquote like masculine traits. Does that make sense? Because I just think it's quite enough easy to stem into that like strong Black woman kind of stereotype, and it's so easy to do that and have it not be culturally rich, not have any context done towards it, not have it be done in a way that's like beautiful and meaningful and complex and still displays like vulnerability and femininity and like, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, it's just very easy to like have that archetype posted up. And, like, we just never indulge in that and never indulge on, like, the amount of strainage and, like, strainage is not a word, the amount of strain that can take place, like, mentally and physically on anyone's soul and body. And I love that. And it also deals with the main thing I wanted to really talk about was, like, the concept of, like, anger, which is, like, been really great for me. It was really, like, cathartic to watch this, The Woman King, the display of anger and the way, like, without, I guess, spoiling it, like everything that takes place has a cathartic ending. It has an ending that leaves me satisfied and like content with how things played out. It feels meaningful, it feels well thought through, it feels like, it feels perfect. Like, not perfect, but like, it's just, it gets me in the feels, you know what I mean? I really appreciated that. So like that like display of like yeah, rightfully anger, and like being able to like take that, like it's kind of falls into that fantasy trope of like, not fantasy trope, but like this kind of like new age like fantasy of like feminism being displayed through violence, I guess you could say, like being able the right for the woman being able to take up space and positions, but also enact violence against those who cross them, which, like, I don't know, that's like really satisfying for me, because I kind of have like, I feel like the only time my anger is like appreciated is when it's in like writing, like it's like, or like it's in storytelling. It's then it's like, oh wow, you're like so cool and talented. Like, not really, like, okay, that's not like, not to chew my horn, but it's, well, it's like, it's one of the only spaces where like I feel like my anger is not going to be critiqued, because it's like people are scared of someone being angry, or like people want to avoid confrontation, or people are afraid of like the idea of a hurt person wanting to protect themselves and not just like, you know what I mean? Because I feel like it, there's this interesting play with sadness. It's like, it's kind of like trying to be the victim, not be the victim, but like, and sadness is that like, there's kind of this level of vulnerability, and like, it's this state of vulnerability where it feels as though when you're seeing someone sad, they're not actively trying to protect themselves. You know what I mean? They kind of just are exposed and are vulnerable for whatever reason. Maybe they're too tired. Maybe they feel okay being exposed. Maybe they just have to be. It's just a release that they can't control. But I feel like something with anger is like, is this attempt to protect oneself. And I think that can be sometimes scary for people who have done the wrongdoing. So, like, I don't know, I think that's an interesting concept, and it also kind of like leans into like gender ideas of like emotions, and how the idea, like, stereotypically women are emotional but men aren't, but men can be angry and are allowed to be angry, but women are not really allowed to be angry or don't have space to really like showcase that anger in the same type of way. But it, like, it's very interesting. It kind of goes back to that like level of vulnerability, because those men can't be like stereotypically like allowed to be like sad, and like, whereas women are like stereotypically allowed to be sad, if that makes sense. They're still shamed for being overly emotional, but like, there are, it's like allowed and to be emotional, but then that emotionality will be used against them when trying to advocate for rights or protection, or like, not protection even, like just positions, or like, you know what I mean, mobility throughout this world. So I find that really like interesting, that kind of like play between emotions. And I feel like what I've recently been seeing in cinema, at least what I've actively been seeking out in cinema as well too, but I do think there has been an increase, is like, truly, it's just women being angry. Like, women being angry. Women have the right to be angry, I think. And I think more than anyone, like, Black women can also have the right to be angry. And it's hard to, like, navigate those, like, that, like, tricky waters of, like, still presenting complex, meaningful characters and helping the, like, the audience to, like, sympathize. So I'm going to be obviously talking about this from my own experience. So I am partially interested in how it registered with people who are not of my identity. But, like, yeah, because, like, I understand, because what I'm going to talk about is obviously my ability to sympathize is also partially connected to my identity. You know what I mean? So it's hard to entangle, for me at least, how good of a job was the art at creating like complex sympathetic characters that anyone can like and understand where they're coming from. But I think they did a good job, so we shall be moving forward with that. And I guess like it kind of leans into what I've recently been talking about, this like whole thing. I keep referring to this idea of what I've recently been like learning or interested in, but basically if I had to summarize it, it would be murder and feminism. Yeah, murder and feminism, the title of this podcast episode. And so there's this YouTube video. I would like to give a shout out to Violet. Thank you, Violet, for showing me this YouTube video. I highly appreciate. But basically, the name of this YouTube video is Rape, Revenge, and Promising Young Woman, Realism versus Catharsis. And it's by Princess Weekes, or Weeks. It's like week, like W-E-E-K-E-S. So that's how it's spelled. And princess is, the word princess is spelled regularly and like in front of it. But like, it's like, that's the video. And like, I remember watching this video with Violet. Thank you so much once again. And it just made me think of like everything I've been like writing about, I've been interested in, and I've been like really like deeply thinking about. And I hope that like these thoughts like help with the process of like what I'm writing about, like can't like give away all the details before like it's actually done and complete. But this is definitely one of my number one projects that I'm working on. But yeah, it's like, this is kind of like the theory of I'm working on the theory basis as well. And when I was watching the video, Rape Revenge by Princess Weeks, like she just like, okay, I don't know how to pronounce, but like I'm googling, it's all done, like it should be fine. Yes, okay, done. So what she was saying is that, what was I gonna say? Oh yes. So what was she was saying, talking about how basically how like this genre hasn't like always like has like kind of like always existed, and like, but like it has like slowly been gaining more traction in recent years, and how the genre has kind of developed. And I think like specifically the rape revenge genre in cinema. And I think she makes references to like novels, but like more like nonfiction works deconstructing it. But yeah, I think that like kind of like links very deeply into the like the topic. And basically like using like violence as a means of like not only control, but like obtaining justice. You know what I mean? And like protect, and a means of creating protection and like ridding people who pose a threat to your protection. You know what I mean? Getting rid of them, you know, or who actively like cross your boundaries, you know. And I think it's like, it's such a like a physical manifestation of that concept of like, of basically protecting yourself, and making sure that people who cross your boundaries, who actively hurt and harm you, your home, your shelter, your people, et cetera, are stopped in their tracks and are unable to continue to do so. And sometimes the best or quickest route to doing that, like, yeah, really, the route that is often very much the most obvious route, or is less complex, I guess. I don't know how to, basically, a route to achieve this is through violence. The other route is through like peaceful negotiation, conversation, discussion, but that usually takes longer. That requires the assumption that both parties would willingly partake in that. That makes the assumption that like, and that also kind of relies on like how much was the boundary crossed, you know what I mean? how much was damaged in the process, how many boundaries have been crossed, how, like, can things be trusted? Like, what was the damage done up until this point? And is it worth trying to maintain the civil, being civil with someone who has actively, like, stabbed you, like, or hurt you, or, like, betrayed you in the deepest, like in a gut-wrenching or heartbreaking or, like, intensive way? You know what I mean? So, like, not me saying, you know what I mean? As if, like, anyways, high-pitched voice. But, yeah, like, it's really, like, when do we decide when to negotiate? How do we negotiate? Is it worth negotiating? Are we betraying ourselves to attempt to negotiate? And how much do we have to give up of ourselves? Because the thing is, with negotiation, there's always compromise. And so the question then becomes, okay, how much are we compromising to protect ourselves? The thing with violence, or a more violent, like, or, like, rough, or, like, yeah, like, a more, like quote-unquote violent way of dealing with things, is that, like, you still make some sacrifices. But, like, the sacrifices, I feel as though, are always, like, how can I explain it? It's easier to place the blame onto whoever is hurting you, whoever's the enemy, or whoever's the perpetrator, when your method of protecting yourself is through violence. Because then, obviously, then that person is going to engage in violence then. And then whatever violent act they do, then that's what will really usually, like, take away from you. You know what I mean? And then afterwards, you can, like, work on, like, you know, healing and stuff like that. But, like, I feel like compared to compromise, you're in a weakened position and you're, like, willing to weaken yourself more in an attempt to maintain peace. That person or that group of people, whatever, do not, like, deserve. Which, I don't know. I think it's an interesting concept. And it's, like, yeah, I'm, like, really intrigued by this. Like, I feel like my brain's tingling. I guess if I had to go more in depth into the movie, I would say, I don't want to spoil it. But I would say it's really good. I feel like this is such a... If you like, how can I say this? I don't know how to explain this in a way that would make sense. This is a period drama, but it's a period drama in Africa. You know what I mean? And so personally, I've kind of always liked the idea of, like, period dramas. I don't think all period dramas are good, that being said. But I do appreciate, like conflicts that take place historically in the past. Or really enjoyed, like, reading about history in school. Like, doing history as a subject. If you're taking history as your subject, especially in South Africa, stop what you're doing. Watch The Woman King. I don't care that it's Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve, everyone. If you celebrate, happy Christmas Day. If you're listening to it on Christmas Day, if you celebrate, of course. And Happy New Year's, if you celebrate. Yeah, like, if you don't celebrate, I hope you're still having a good day. Cool. What was I on? What was I talking about? Okay, yes. It's that, like, I got it and then I lost it. Basically, it's that, like, yes, history. If you're taking history, even if it's on South Africa, just, like, go watch it. If you like period dramas, but you're, like specifically the reason you like period dramas is because you like conflicts that are caused by a society at large, and, like, you also like the way it links into identity or, like, personhood or, like, things that have happened now, you know what I mean? Like, that's great. You know what I mean? I really recommend. If you like the movie, what's it? Django. Yes. Django Unchained. Watch it. If you don't like the movie Django Unchained, still consider watching it. You know what I mean? Just because, like, it doesn't have the same, like, amount of, like, I feel like with Django Unchained, there's a lot of like N-word saying. There was a lot of slurs thrown around, in my personal view, unnecessarily, whatever. But like, whereas in this movie, there's like, as far as I know, there's no slurs like thrown around, you know what I mean? Obviously, there's literally maybe one or two lines where like something like mean is said, like at least in my, like something that made me think, should you be saying that? Like, you know what I mean? But anyways, I recommend, if you enjoy women empowerment, watch the movie. If you like Black Panther, I don't like this comparison. I was kind of trying to avoid this comparison just because I feel like that's such a, like, an easy comparison to do. But like, no, truthfully, if you enjoy like African culture and women kicking ass, or women kicking bottoms, whatever, like, sorry, like, try not to like swear as much, whatever. If you enjoy that, I recommend. If you enjoy, what else did I want to say? I can't remember what else. Like, yeah, like, if you enjoy, like found family, like, themes like that, like, finding your own family. Oh my gosh, I recommend. If you have ever learned, like, I know I used to, like, if you're into Black representation, watch. Like, what are you even doing here? If you just want to see Black women have amazing hairstyles, if that's the only reason you want to watch this film, go ahead and watch it. Trust me. Oh my goodness me. I need a description to be told on how to do this hair. I need a 360 photo booth right now so I can show my hairdresser. Will she be able to do it? I'm living in South Africa right now. Well, I'm in South Africa for holidays right now, so I'm pretty sure I can find someone, you know what I mean? Like, because this is Africa. In America, I don't know if I'll be able to find it. I'm not gonna lie. Braids are so expensive in America. Let me not get distracted with that topic. But basically, I recommend this film. And I'm not gonna spoil it any further. If you like Viola Davis, because she's in it, give it a go. If you like, I actually haven't seen her work before to see Mbedu, but I really enjoyed her presence in this film. Also, I'm pretty damn sure that Miss Universe 2019 was, like, in this movie. I know her name. Why am I referring to her as Miss Universe 2019? Okay, I guess I forgot her name, but, like, I feel so ashamed because she's, like, literally amazing, and I don't know. Yeah, feel free to shame me, because like that's not good. But like, thank you, Zonzi Bini Tunzi. Okay, there we go. She's South African too. I don't know why I did that. That's so bad. Okay, anyways, moving on. Let me not critique myself as much. Go watch it. I recommend. Yeah. Also, yeah, but weaving back into the idea of like murder of feminism. Is I feel like there's very few ways. Someone said this really well in one of these TikToks I've seen. Someone said it really, really well. Basically, like, the fear is with marginalized people being like violent, is that like, I think it was during the like Will Smith like situation where Will Smith like smacked Chris Rock. Remember that situation? Yeah. I think, and then different people were debating about like political correctness and like, oh, are people really that mad that like Will Smith smacked, or are they just mad that a black man showcased any anger or violence, whatever, like, et cetera, all those conversations were happening. And but someone like really like said this very interesting concept, is that like people are really afraid of like marginalized people partaking in violence because the only type of violence that everyone can partake in and we're all like equal in, if that makes sense. Like, I'm quotation marks equal in is in quotation marks, you know. And I was like, wow, like, that's amazing. The way they said it was like so succinct and perfect, and like that, like, it makes me think of how like with this, like, the like this idea I'm I'm equating it really. I don't know. I'm not. I feel like it's not such a unique statement, but like murder for feminism, it's like kind of like it takes that like idea of like whereas women have been subjugated and oppressed and restricted, like positionally, in terms of social status, in terms of social mobility, in terms of physical protection and safety, in terms of peace and like being an independence, in terms of like bodily autonomy and self-autonomy. Like there's been all these restrictions and protections, and one of the main ways of enforcing it is through like also like yes, economic oppression, but also like physical violence and the threat of physical violence at every turn as a way of subduing women, as a way of like quote unquote putting a woman in her place. That was in quotes, please note. And so I think like that the idea of like murder for feminism as like not necessarily a trope but rather as a genre, because I like the idea of it being a genre, is that like it kind of explores means of women trying to protect themselves and like assert their right to life, even if it's at the expense of others, and like asserts like their bodily autonomy and their ability to choose, because like they're able to, in these like worlds and in these genres, these women, these female characters, these women are able to like act out their anger in a way that's like safe enough for them, in a way that they have a chance of being successfully saving themselves or protecting themselves, even when being angry and displaying that anger to its fullest range. And it's not only that, but like they're able to like just have like full control of their selves, their bodies, their times, you know what I mean, and like organize that, and then like also then be the ones determining someone else's like bodily access. But it's not just anyone's, it's like people who have actively posed a threat to them and who've actively hurt and harmed them, you've actively destroyed them and stripped them of their protections. It's, you know, it's like as a means of self-protection. And also I think it brings me to the idea of like, I think someone else said, this is gonna be interesting. I was gonna say funny, but not really funny, because she's actually really smart. The problem is I remember is Uncut Gems. That's the only way I remember her. So like, yes, Julia Fox. Julia Fox once like was saying in a TED talk, that like why can't like. If a woman murders, like, yeah, maybe, what's her reasoning? You know what I mean? Maybe it's okay, because usually women murder for, like, a reason, a good reason, you know, whereas sometimes men murder for no reason, you know what I mean, whatsoever. And I thought that was, like she, the way she said it was, like, first of all, very, very memorable. I recommend, like, looking at her TikTok. She has, like, a lot of, like, excuse the pun, a lot of gems in her like TikTok that I really vibe with. But like she was basically, so when she like said that, I was like, yeah, because like there, it's interesting that like the using the tool of violence for like, you know, I guess also for a means of creating like visual equality and like catharsis visually, but also as like for a reason, like there, like if it's like this idea of like women being violent for a reason, I don't know, it makes me happy. But sometimes it's also good to have content where women are violent for no reason besides the fact that she just has issues. No reason, she just has issues. And if you're looking for a movie where she just has issues, that's Pearl. Go watch Pearl. I really enjoy that. So there's also definitely a demographic for that, and I think that can be interesting to explore, especially because you just don't see that like statistically correlates in real life as much. Does that make sense? Like there's not like, of course there are like female murderers, you know, who are just killed for no reason, but like I feel like compared to the amount of thirst traps over fictional male serial killers and then there being real life male serial killers. I like that between like Unsolved Crime girlies and like I Love Fictional Serial Killers girlies. It's a bit, it's too close. Is there a gap? It's scary. Yeah, I guess those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this. And I'm guessing encourage you to think about what like stories or books have you read that like kind of frame female empowerment through like violence and through like the lens of violence and through like feminism and through like, yeah, like through using murder and violence to protect themselves, protect their loved ones, you know, like, you know what I mean? Just serve justice, you know? I think it's weird because it's like the Hunger Games, you could low-key link that, you know, the whole genre of female, like, badass characters, whatever, you can link it. So yeah, think about that and toodles. Till next time, bye. That brings us to an end of this episode. Everything that I'm speaking about is linked down below, and I really hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. And let me know what your thoughts are. I'll be linking out socials in the description below. Until next time, ciao.